Michelle Dykstra joining WFIR reporter anchor Jean Marano and I in the studio live this morning. Michelle, nice to see you. Thank you for coming by this morning.
Absolutely. Nice to see you as well. And thank you guys for having me.
Now, Michelle, how were you able to energize voters in May? You gathered the second most votes after Vice Mayor Anita Price. How'd you do it?
Well, you know, I think for me personally, it was making sure that I got my name out there as a relatively unknown candidate. It was important that we make sure that people, you know, knew my name. I tried to get out and meet as many people as possible, tried to make sure I got out door to door. So it was really getting out and seeing people face to face.
You know, I wanted to ask you, Michelle, you were the city market manager, and I think you're still president of the Mountain View
Neighborhood Association. Yeah.
And talk about how that area is trying to come back. I know you just held a community meeting at a church on Sunday. Talk about how that area has come back and what you're trying to do there, and developers like Corbin Pridewin. Is it sort of symbolic of what the city needs to do for its housing stock in general?
So I think the West End is a really interesting case study. We moved to the West End over 2 years ago. And I've been involved with and we purchased our house about 3 years ago. I've been involved with the Neighborhood Association ever since. And so, you know, the West End had millions of dollars invested into it from federal money, HUD money, from state money, and then from city money. And the city spent about 3 years focusing in the West End. And it was really an experiment to see what would happen if we took and targeted these areas. We call them target areas. The money has now moved from the West End into Northwest and just north of Melrose. And so what the meeting was on Sunday was the neighbors were trying to come together to figure out what we could do as a neighborhood to continue the progress. Because we don't just want to see a situation where the money leaves and then everything falls back into, you know, into shape where we don't have people continuing to move into the neighborhood. So we had over 70 people at our meeting on Sunday, which I thought was an incredible turnout. Sarah Masoul came in and talked about some projects that were going on throughout the state. We had Catherine Gray from the city who came in and talked specifically about the investment and the change that had been made during the West End investment. And then we actually led a 45-minute strategic planning session to talk with all the neighborhoods about the successes they had seen, what they'd like to see in the future. And we came away with three solid ideas of what we could do as neighbors in order to continue that progress. Mm-hmm.
Is the hope maybe even that some of these people that, let's say, are living in apartments downtown, when they want to start a family or something, and they want a house, that they'll move, stay in the city, but maybe move to Southeast or Northwest or the West End or something, into some of this rehabilitated housing stock?
Absolutely. Well, you know, my decision to move to the West End was for multiple reasons. One, I wanted to live in a diverse neighborhood. I wanted to be somewhere where you know, we knew that we were going to be a part of helping to grow a neighborhood and bring it back. It was also a place that we could afford. You know, it's affordable housing. We have a beautiful home that if it was in other neighborhoods in Roanoke would cost 2 to 3 times as much as what we were able to purchase it for in the West End. You know, I have my 3-year-old daughter in our house. We feel safe. We feel comfortable. I'm walking distance to downtown. I'm walking distance to Grandin. I'm right at the Greenway. It's really the perfect location for a young family. And so, yes, I mean, the hope is that we will continue to see more and more families, more and more young folks moving into some of these houses, hopefully moving in and revitalizing these neighborhoods and helping to make sure that these houses are not falling into disrepair.
We're talking to Roanoke City Councilwoman Michelle Dykstra. I'm going to run out of time here. I want to ask you a question about keeping young people here. And, you know, a lot of cities – I lived in Boulder, Colorado for years, and it was one of the best cities for startups. You've got the CoLab here. You've got the new Ramp Business Accelerator, which will open up. And just an announcement really today about this small business hub that they want to build across from the Grandin. Talk about maybe how these things help attract and keep young professionals here.
So I think what we're seeing nationwide is that having an entrepreneurial economy, and that includes an entire infrastructure. So it's not only having a place where small businesses can start. It's also having a place where small businesses are able to scale, where they have mentors and where they have people in the community that are helping them to scale their business, because that's the really hard part. It's also making sure that we're connecting those businesses back to money, making sure that they have investors that are local that are helping to continue those businesses. And having that entrepreneurial economy is really, really important when people are trying to decide where they want to live these days. So it is crucial. It's you know, everything that's going on down in the innovation corridor is going to be a crucial piece of this as well. So it's not only our business startups, but it's making sure that we're paying attention to what's going on in our health our health sciences industry as well, and connecting the pieces. And it's not only Roanoke, but it's Roanoke and Blacksburg. It's making sure that we are connecting the dots between these two locales.
And it seems like this new business hub might be the next step up from the CoLab. You come out of the CoLab, you need a little more space, you go across the street.
Absolutely. And then the Ramp Accelerator is going to be the next part of that as well, making sure that we are helping those businesses scale.
We are speaking with Roanoke City Councilmember Michelle Dykstra this morning. And Michelle, I wish this was something we didn't have to talk about, being gun violence. But it is. And what can we do about gun violence in our city?
Well,
and talk about, if you can, work this into the vote that city council took and what you objected to.
Sure. So, you know, we live in a Dillon Rule state. Dillon Rule state means that the locales are limited in the powers that they have. So as a city, we are limited in the powers that we have. What we are able to do is we are able to put together a legislative packet, and we present that to our state legislators and say, hey, these are the things that we need as Roanoke City. And so we unanimously, as Roanoke City Council, approved our legislative packet, and that legislative packet included a request to be included on this list of 13 cities that currently exist in Virginia that ban a certain type of rifle, a long-barreled rifle with more than 20 rounds of ammunition within the city limits. So that, again, City Council unanimously voted to approve that legislative packet. You know, my thoughts on exactly what's going on with that piece of legislation has been around for many, many years. Roanoke has never requested to be on that list before. I personally believe that what we need to do here within the city of Roanoke is to make sure that we are doing whatever we can to affect public safety. This request to go on, you know, this list of 13 cities, if you have a concealed carry permit, you are excluded from that. So you are able to still carry a loaded weapon with the, you know, more than 20 rounds. I personally just think that what we need to be focusing on as city council is what we can actually do here locally as city council, which to me is education. We've got to make sure that we're teaching kids what you do if you find a gun. What the repercussions are of gun violence. What does it mean to be in jail for the rest of your life if you actually shoot someone? Because we have children that are growing up today that don't understand that guns are real, that guns actually kill, and that there are lifelong repercussions to what happens when you get a hold of a gun. We have kids growing up that see violence and see these video games, and it becomes almost this fantasy that we've got to bring these kids back down to reality and help them understand that this has real results, lifelong results.
Michelle, we're going to have to wrap it up. We'll have to have you back. But in 10 seconds, are you feeling more comfortable? You finding your stride on city council?
Sure. Every day is a learning opportunity. And I'm really, really grateful for all the people that I've met so far and looking forward to meeting, hopefully, everybody else.
Good answer. Michelle Dykstra, city council, Roanoke City Council. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Gene.
Michelle, we appreciate it. WFIR News Time now, coming up on 8:56.